Greetings, Sleepy Salsa here on this Thursday, August 23rd of 2012, and welcome to the 53rd episode of the Last Bastille podcast. This broadcast is kindly hosted exclusively over at radioforall.net. I should also take this opportunity to mention that the opening theme is Ashley Alisize's A Puzzling Predicament, and the outro will be Bosa's King's Quest, both of them available pursuant to Creative Commons Attribution, specifically CC BY NCSA 3.0 Unported. For more information on Creative Commons, visit them at creativecommons.org. For any other content that may not be of original authorship by yours truly, such material is used under the sincere intention of fair use. If you wish to understand the nature of the situation we are all suffering under, and what can be done about it, feel free to visit The Last Bastille blog, which is located over at The Last Bastille, Bastille is spelled B-A-S-T-I-L-L-E, TheLastBastille.wordpress.com. For this particular episode, we're going to take a look at the left-right paradigm, but first I figured a update of sorts in regards to the podcast and a couple of other interrelated events should be momentarily addressed for the record. There was a You Have Tread on Me listener email list that was set up, and to kind of explain what has happened to YHTOM, basically the site became suspended, and for the longest time, a lot of us were trying to see what could be done to salvage it, to transfer it, and that sort of thing, but unfortunately, it's just gone to a standstill. There is always the possibility it will come back, and I certainly hope so. I know a lot of other people would be as well, but in case anyone was wondering what happened to either Randy Mack and YHTOM in general, or to myself and the Last Bastille podcast specifically, I'll just read just a few of the emails that I sent out over the YHTOM listener email list just to kind of bring everyone up to speed. There's really only three that really pertain. The first one was sent out on June 17th of 2012 by moi, and it is entitled The Time Capsule Method Archiving YHTOM Podcasts. To all YHTOM listeners, considering the times we are living in, it would be foolhardy to assume that anything anti-establishment would remain publicly available for long. Sooner or later, government censorship will get around to every liberty-focused website, blog, RSS feed, etc. It would behoove all of us to take precautions so as not to let the many hours of work producing original material go to waste. I am asking all YHTOM listeners at this time to please begin archiving the entire currently publicly available podcast list located at uftreadme.com/audio/radio_shows. If you either do not have the space in your hard drive or other digital storage device to house all of them, or you simply choose not to, at the very least, please archive the specific podcast episodes you believe to be the most relevant and pertinent. Thank you all for your assistance in this matter. Sleepy Salsa, The Last Bastille blog. And then, of course, obviously, it was a good thing I sent that out when I did. The next one is not as directly pertinent to the suspension of YHTOM, but it was something that, which was good that it was done pretty much at about the same time. This email was sent out on June 26th of 2012, entitled YHTOM Reading List. To all YHTOM listeners, Randy Mack's suggested reading list is now publicly available. It is located at basically my blog. And actually, just for the benefit of those of you listening right now, I will go to that and read the reading list briefly. Please keep in mind that most of the books and documents listed are available for free. Simply follow the hyperlinks to where the files are hosted. Yours in Liberty, Sleepy Salsa. The YHTOM reading list was originally posted on June 24th of 2012, so it was 2 days before, at the Last Bastille blog. Here is Randy Mack's suggested reading list for YH2M listeners, political dissidents, and anyone else who is willing to begin seeing through the fog. It is recommended, if at all possible, to read the books in the order that they are presented. And there are 12 books. The first is King and Schneider's The First Global Revolution. Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Carol Quigley's The Anglo-American Establishment. H.G. Wells's The Open Conspiracy. Charles Galton Darwin's The Next Million Years. Bertrand Russell's The Impact of Science on Society. Julian Huxley's UNESCO, Its Purpose and Philosophy. Zbigniew Brzezinski's Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. Zbigniew Brzezinski's The Grand Chessboard, American Primacy and Its Geopolitical Imperatives. Aldous Huxley's Brave New World Revisited. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, A Pragmatic Primer for Realistic Radicals. And Dr. Joseph P. Martino's Resistance to Tyranny. And as an aside, also be sure to read two documents, basically. The first entitled Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance and the Societal Implications of Nanoscience and Nanotechnology. I'll include a link to the YHTOM reading list in the description for this particular podcast episode hosted over at radioforall.net. And then finally, the third email that was sent out over the listener email list was sent out actually not that long ago on August 14th of 2012. It is entitled YHTOM is Suspended. To all YH2M listeners, it has come to my attention that UofTreadOnMe.com has been suspended. I have been in contact with the rest of the YH2M crew, and efforts are already underway to try and get it back up online. Meanwhile, I'm going to attempt and get episodes 47 through 52 of the Last Bastille podcast archive on a backup hosting site, as well as other YH2M broadcasts, so they are available to all of you again. We appreciate everyone's participation with YHTOM. Hopefully in the future there will be a resurgence of new material that will assist all of us in moving the cause for liberty forward. I trust that renewed support for YHTOM or its successor will make itself manifest when the time comes. Yours in liberty, Sleepy Salsa. So I just want to let all of, I just want to let you listeners know that was what the situation was. Unlike what happened with New Colony Media, where I was forcibly ejected, such was not, I repeat, not the case with YHTOM. There were other problems which I am not at liberty to go into, but suffice it to say the website has been suspended, which is why for the foreseeable future, this episode and future podcasts of mine are going to be hosted on radioforall.net, so I did want to bring all of you up on that. And speaking of which, of the YH2M reading list, it kind of coincides nicely with this episode's topic of the left-right paradigm, especially once you start reading globalist documents such as what's on that reading list and others. You really start to see how they use a false dichotomy. Actually, they use multiple false dichotomies, but especially the common mainline political one to really practice a type of balkanization, divide and conquer, if you will, which of course normal or external balkanization will I will actually be dealing with in a future episode. But for this go around, I like to read for you all my article about the left-right paradigm that is hosted over at the Last Bastille blog. It was originally posted on December 30th of 2011, and it is entitled, The Left-Right Paradigm. Imagine, if you will, growing up with everyone in your family supporting a particular football team. Every game, your entire family watches their team perform a tackle, score a touchdown, or otherwise slow the opposition's advance on the field. Your relatives, even if they aren't excited by anything else, will jump up and shout with utter enthusiasm for the success of that team, regardless of a quality performance or even relevance to their own lives. Mainline politics is much the same way. There are Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives. It is always presented as a series of binary options. There is never a third way or even a glance into the vastness that is infinite possibility. This tiny box reality really is anything but real, for the deliberate systematic narrowing of perception is about as heinous an act upon the liberty of human thought as can be conceived. This artificially dichotomous construct is known as the false left-right control paradigm. Have you never wondered why there is a hegemonic two-party system in America, or even political parties at all? A history lesson on the development of parties aside, a key reason that they exist, in the first place, is to actually support each other. If there had been a single-party structure instead, the forces of popular resistance would be much more effective at toppling the power structure, since those forces would be unified against a singular entity. However, the Democrats and the Republicans prop each other up much like an archway. This way, resistance to them is significantly diffused and even set against each other. Notice also that the left-right paradigm is not limited to political parties alone. It is also quite observable with political ideologies, or what passes for them. Watch any mainline conservative or liberal pundit, and you'll notice the same litany of talking points, as if from a recipe. Typically, they tend to agree on the important issues, which are seldom, if ever, discussed publicly, yet disagree on the minor ones, which, of course, are mentioned front and center on the public stage. Notice the society of the spectacle when it comes to public education, campaign finance, and gay marriage, but the obfuscation on foreign policy, that is, war, diplomacy, and international trade, the deception concerning the domestic surveillance police state apparatus, and especially the stunning silence about the viability of central banking. It has been assumed that the left is composed of liberals and Democrats, whereas the right is composed of conservatives and Republicans. When you compare the more consistent ideological positions of, say, communism and socialism on the left, and then fascism and national socialism on the right, their core premise is the idea that the individual must be subject to the group and sacrificed if necessary for the greater good. The government, or the state, is held as all-important. Common law rights are simply considered only civil liberties granted by the state, and thus are not naturally inalienable. Upon objective scrutiny, the philosophical underpinnings of the left and right are, in fact, the same. The left-right paradigm is taken from the corporate world in the form of duopolies, such as Coke and Pepsi, AT&T and Verizon, etc. Customers, like voters, are given the illusion of a choice, since a duopoly looks a lot better than a monopoly. Given that voters are duped between the lesser of two evils, they are balkanized against each other along partisan lines, which do not represent genuine differences either in terms of philosophy or policy. Voters are literally stuck within this grand political ploy, since they are conditioned to believe that they have consented by voting to whatever the parties have done. Worst of all, voters do not realize that there is a larger power structure sitting on top of the partisan archway, pulling the strings of the puppet parties. This cap of the archway is a conglomeration of special interests, some private, others corporate. So really, it is in fact all one unit that supports itself and is quite an effective apparatus for containing revolution. If the left-right paradigm, as I have explained it, is a true and accurate concept, then why does the populace continue to acquiesce to it? You must remember that just as with corporate sports teams and overly priced universities, people have been conditioned to personally identify with one of the two political parties, usually through their family acting as a socialization agent towards an individual member, especially a child. Because of this, People typically grow up to become straight-ticket voters, supporting a party because their parents did. This can be observed with the 2008 presidential election, when the Republicans opposed Barack Obama in just the same way the liberals attacked John McCain, especially considering that each figurehead was essentially a daddy figure to their own hapless partisan followers. Breaking out of the left-right paradigm involves a paradigm shift about the nature of politics itself. For instance, political discourse a century ago was not based around conservatives and liberals, but about liberty and tyranny. It wasn't about social engineering schemes, but about how much state intervention was present in the lives of the population. The proper role of government was absolutely paramount to the security and prosperity of its citizens, for without it, democide, death by government, became the most dangerous threat to life, liberty, and property, as was evidenced by the death tolls and property destruction caused by the various wars of the 20th century. Once you stop being psychologically dependent on the dominant political parties and their corporate media pundits, then the very beginning of your own personal renaissance can begin. And again, that was the article entitled The Left-Right Paradigm, which is part of the collection that I've decided to call Essential Concepts. And the collection of articles filed under Essential Concepts are essentially, these can be considered the fundamental bare-bones basics of what must be understood if humanity is ever to reassert self-determination. And so for the next couple of episodes, I plan on reading all of the articles that I've written thus far that really I consider essential concepts, and even people who belong in the mainline public should read these as well. In fact, it's the only material I put out that really they should listen to, because if you look at a lot of the other concepts, and I will do one on predictive programming in a while, if they're not even willing to study television or get past the left-right paradigm or whatever it happens to be, then it's kind of like when you're training with in various skills, you have like those three incremental phases of crawl, walk, and run. This is basically, day one crawling, if you will. If someone's not willing to acknowledge the persistence of the left-right paradigm, the pervasiveness of predictive programming, the manipulative tricks of the Hegelian dialectic, and so on and so forth, then I don't see why anyone would bother by trying to continually and unsuccessfully try and convince them to invest in like Bitcoin or join a militia or frankly any sort of project that would actually be fairly effective for securing our liberties, really anything under the sun that either is experimental or actually has worked before and still continues to work. So in terms of trying to ascertain whether certain individuals are predisposed, those that, and I've said this before, that are at least open-minded, if not already somewhat sympathetic, if you can take that pool and then just present these essential concepts to them, upon reflection, if they then decide that these are true and accurate, then this that would show that you have a possibility of working with them. But if they don't, then forget it. I mean, they're too far gone. Just don't waste your time. And so in a lot of ways, the articles that comprise essential concepts, I believe, are a very effective, I guess you could say, a litmus test of sorts, a yardstick by which to measure the likely quality of recruits and potential recruits and that sort of thing. That's why I think really going through these is that important. It's also important, too, for other political, for those who are already political dissidents, in really clarifying, but briefly clarifying I guess you could say in a lot of ways, the list of grievances, in a manner of speaking. You know, nobody likes, nobody who has a brain, a heart, and a conscience likes false flag operations. Nobody likes fractional reserve lending, for instance. Any of those kinds of things. A police state, too. So it goes both ways. It's kind of like having a common platform, or at least a common list of grievances, let's put it that way. And at the same time, I say it's really the only material that's appropriate for trying to kind of feel people that are within the mainline public who are predisposed to possibly being likely to be recruited and try and see if there was a way to do that. Hopefully, I hope I've explained it well enough to you all that it makes sense. I just think it's pretty important. I haven't really noticed anybody else trying to do it this way. Hopefully it will work. We'll see what happens. For next episode, we will continue Seeing Through the Fog of Illusion by exploring another essential concept, that of the Hegelian dialectic. I'm Sleepy Salsa, and thanks for listening.